content in which we are going to be breaking this down, it'd probably be helpful to understand the historical content of what is transpiring. Now, for those of you that are Bible nerds such as myself, you may know that I believe it was after King Solomon, there was a division that took place in Israel. And there became a northern tribe, which was the tribe of Israel, and then there was a southern tribe, which was the tribe of Judah. It's also interesting to note that most of the prophets in the Old Testament were sent to the tribe of Judah. And the reason for that is because they at least tried a little bit. Israel, they were just bad. They were just terrible. Nothing good took place up in Israel. So most of our Old Testament books of the Bible that are in the classification of the prophets are being sent to the tribe of Judah. Now, Jeremiah, now this is the other thing you also have to understand why prophets are sent to Israel or Judah. They're sent for this reason, because the people are messing up. The people are messing up. They're just doing, the Bible says this, they use this term, they did evil in the sight of the Lord. Now, God's people were very proficient at doing evil things. Unfortunately, we still have that problem in today's society. Now, Jeremiah is being sent to Judah, and he's bringing a message. Now, how many of you would sign up for this assignment? The message is this: God's coming, he's not happy, and he's going to put a whooping on you when he gets here. Anybody want to have that message? You're one guy against the whole nation, and your message is bad stuff's about ready to happen because all the terrible things that you've been doing. But here's the good news. You're going to survive it. Now, Jeremiah has this calling, and this is his assignment, and this is what he is supposed to be speaking, but he has this problem, and basically boils down to this. He doesn't want to do it. Now, I know that this is a church of God-fearing people that every time God gives you something to do, you're there. You jump right on board. Put me in, coach. I'm ready to play. I want to start right now. I know that's how we all respond to God's calling when he talks to us. No, Joy. Joy's back there. Thank you. I got one honest person in church today. No, this tends to be the DNA of most of us. When God speaks, we love when he gives us easy stuff to do. But when he tells you, hey, go down to Judah and tell them judgment is coming, it reveals some things about Jeremiah's character, and this is something that I want to deal with today. Jeremiah is suffering from insecurity. He is insecure. Insecure simply means a lack of confidence or assurance. It means self-doubt. I'm pretty sure that nobody here has ever had self-doubt. I will stand up, and I will take the hit on this one. I have been insecure many times in my life. And insecurity is a powerful force when it's turned loose inside of you. Insecurity is destructive. Insecurity can turn you into a jealous human being. When you see somebody else doing something that you think that you could do better than them, or you start looking at what they're doing and you start pulling it apart, because your insecurity says, I should be the one that's doing that instead of them. It can cause you to connect with people that you should have run from in your life. It can cause you to get connected into situations that you should have never happened. Probably nobody in this world has ever ended up married to somebody that they should have never been married to, simply for the reason that they were insecure and they were afraid of being alone. So some bozo came into their picture and they said, this is what I need. But it was out of insecurity instead of really stepping back and viewing the situation for itself. Insecurity? Have you ever seen a young man drive a Corvette? It always seems like it's old dudes driving Corvettes. My kids and me, we play this game when a Corvette goes by, 60, 70, or 80. Basically, is he 60, or is he 70, or is he 80? I don't know what it is about Corvettes and old men, but maybe it's a little bit of insecurity. I'm going to step away from that one. insecurity causes men to leave women who they've been married to for years for some girl half their age, trying to find youth in some young girl. Insecurity can drive you into bankruptcy. I have never met a person who's ever successfully kept up with the Joneses. Every time they're buying something, you got to buy something better. That's insecurity. And it'll cause you to not be at peace with the life that you've been blessed with. Insecurity causes people to dress ways that they would never dress. Insecurity, it'll cause you to present a version of yourself to the world that's not the real you. I was thinking about this. The class clown, he wasn't always funny. The class clown oftentimes was just trying to protect themselves. And somehow they thought in humor they could hide from what was really going on inside of their heart. Insecurity. Let's go ahead and read our text, and I'll give you my title here in a minute. Jeremiah 1, let's pick up in verse 4. Then the word of the Lord came to me, saying, "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. And before you were born, I sanctified you, and I ordained you a prophet to the nations. Then I said, Lord God, behold, I cannot speak, for I am a youth. But the Lord said to me, do not say I am a youth, for you shall go to all to whom I send you. And whatever I command you, you shall speak. Do not be afraid of their faces, for I am with you to deliver you, says the Lord. And then the Lord put forth his hand, and he touched my mouth, and the Lord said to me, behold, I have put my words in your mouth. And see, I have this day set over you the nations and over the kingdoms to root out and to pull down, to destroy and to throw down, and to build and to plant." I'm titling this message this morning very simply this: insecurity kills. Insecurity kills. Father, I just ask you this morning that you would be with us as we open your word, Lord, and we study together from the scriptures, God, that, Father, you would open our eyes, open our hearts. You would instruct us in your ways, Lord, that, God, that we can live lives that, Lord, are fulfilled and filled with your presence. In your name we pray, amen. I'm just going to take a few minutes of your time this morning because there's a couple points that I want to point out that I believe that God is speaking to Jeremiah, and that if we can grasp these simple truths in these, what he is speaking, that many of us who do battle with insecurity... Can I just take a little poll here? Is there anybody in the church besides myself that has ever had insecurities in your life? Okay. You know that there's all the weight loss places and the gyms and all of them places. You know that basically their whole business structure is based on your insecurity? Your insecurity to be able to look in the mirror and see yourself? I don't know about you, but I tend to, at certain times of the year, just avoid the mirror. I just don't like to see what's there. And it builds these insecurities that when we're presenting ourselves to the world, we are saying, I'm not good enough. We're saying to the world that I don't look right. We say to the world, I'm not talented enough. And I want to speak something to you this morning, and if you'll just listen to me, God has given us some tools so that we stop seeing ourselves with our eyes and we actually begin to see ourselves with his eyes. You have to make that transition, and we have been talking about this frequently in this church over the last couple months, that there is a bridge from the natural that crosses over into the supernatural. And that the things in your life that need to be accomplished, if we could do them in the natural, they would have already been done. And that's why I know that every person in this room needs a supernatural moment of the divine intervention in us. And one of those things that I believe is part of that transition is transitioning from this natural view of who I am and being able to finally see myself as God sees me. And Jeremiah is in a situation where he's basically saying to God, I can't do it. I can't do it. He says, I'm too young. I don't know what to say. I'm going to go out there and I'm going to make a fool of myself. And into this, God says, okay, you need to stop for a minute and you need to hear what I say about you. And I believe that's the assignment that God has given me this morning to this church, is for you to start to hear what God says about you. Forget what people have said. Forget what daddy said, what mama said, your neighbor said, anybody said. What has God declared over your life? If you're taking notes, let's go ahead and we'll give you my first point right now. The first thing that God says to Jeremiah is this: I formed you. God formed you. He formed you. That word form comes from a Hebrew word, yatsar, which means to shape. That God literally has shaped your life for a purpose. Probably many of us in this room can look at certain parts of our life that we have walked through, and we step back and say, what in the world was the purpose of that? Why did I go through that purpose? Why did I go through that thing? I cannot figure out why. I've told this story before to the church, and let me share it with you one more time. It was way back many, many years ago. I can't even remember how long ago we moved to Syracuse. But I had this job, and it was allowing me to support my family. We weren't rich at any mean, but at least I was keeping food on the table, the whole deal. And then something happened at that job, and they decided they no longer needed my services. Any guy who's ever gone through that experience knows it's not fun to be told that you're not needed anymore. And so I remember driving home, driving really slowly because I didn't want to get back to the house and have to tell Jess what had happened. Later on, years down the road, she told me that she was actually grateful that I lost the job because I had a part-time job known as my commute to work and back. So I was basically gone from sun up to sun down, and I was leaving her at home with two small children, which I would walk in the door, and she'd have her hand out like this. I'd drop the keys in her hand, and she'd leave. And then it was my turn. But I couldn't understand why I lost this job. Because I'm a believer. I got faith. I love the Lord, the whole deal. And now I'm put in a position that where I'm going, how am I going to support my family? And I'm going to tell you something. It got tough. I remember one day during that time calling the assistant pastor of our church. And I said, Marty, I'm in trouble. He said, what's the problem? I said, I don't got any food in the house for my family. And he said, wait a minute. And he was out there within an hour and brought food and formula for the baby. And a few hours later, he must have called my dad because my dad and mom showed up and their whole vehicle was full of groceries for us. And God basically showed me, I'll get you through this. I'll get you through this. But I couldn't grasp why a God who loved me would put me in a situation that hurt. Why would you allow something like this to happen to me? It was several years later when we moved to Syracuse, and I was laying in bed one night, and that question came up in my mind again. And I said, God, why did you take that job away from me? And I felt God speak this word very simply, because you would not have quit it when I told you it was time for you to move to Syracuse, where your mission and your destiny was to be found. And I'm saying all of this to help you understand this concept that that Jeremiah is being spoken to. That God forms your very existence. And if you can embrace that, that knowledge will help you to accept a lot of the things that have happened in your life that you would prefer to forget. I wrote this down. He knew where he was taking me, and he knew what I would do before I ever did it. He knew what my assignment in life was to be. So everything about my life has been orchestrated
so that at the time I got where I was going, I would be able to handle whatever circumstances would be in front of me. Now, this opens up all sorts of questions. The abuses that I've experienced, the betrayals that I've experienced, the horrible situations that I've had to walk through. Why? And I believe that we can understand that when we see that Jeremiah is being told, I formed the very life that you have walked out. So everything that you are questioning why, maybe if you could just back up for a second and say, there's a reason for it. God formed that. He knew where I was going to go before I ever got there. And the Bible says this, all things work together for the good of those who love him. Even the dumbest things that we've done in life, there's a purpose behind them. So instead of kicking yourself over things, we can start to step up. God, I've said I'm sorry. I know what I did to create that moment. And I know that I put myself in that situation. But I'm going to let it go because you've told me that you've forgiven me. And now I'm just going to start to say, you know what? It's part of who I am because you are preparing me to take me into a situation that my mission in life can be fulfilled. The greatest thing that you can ever have at your disposal is when you have somebody come into your life and they speak the truth of who they are and what they're walking through, and you can look them in the face and say, I know what you're going through. And they say, well, how do you know what you're going through? Because I've gone through it. I've experienced death. I've experienced betrayal. I've experienced the pain that you're going through. I know what it was like to be abused. I know what it was like to be a failure. I know what it's like to overcome addictions. I know. How did you do it? Oh, let me tell you about Jesus. Let me tell you about the God that I serve. Let me tell you how he got me through when I thought I could never make it through. Thank you. I got one amen over there. The rest of you guys, come on. We know this, don't we? We know that there are things that only God got us through, because if he didn't get us through, we wouldn't be here. Amen? So he formed us. Instead of being angry about our past, maybe it's time for some of us to make peace with it so that we can embrace it for what it was, a journey. A journey. Don't try to take the white out to things that God's saying, no, 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 no. I need you to see how I was there when you thought, no, you were all alone. Because you know what? There's going to be other moments in your life when you're going to think you're all alone. And you need to be able to have faith that no, if I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'm going to fear no evil. Why? Because my God is with me. Amen? All right. Jeremiah, he's feeling it now. He's going, okay, you formed me. And then he says, God takes it another step at Jeremiah. He says, I didn't just form you, I knew you. Now this statement this week, I was kind of trying to put my mind around it. And what I basically came up with this. Before you even got here, God knew you were coming. Before you even stepped on this earth, God knew you were going to be here one day. And we have this little thing that we say on here. We say God doesn't make junk. God makes no junk. And I believe that there is not a mistake that has ever been born on this planet. Now, I know I'm going to get into some deep water here with some of you, because you can say, but what about this evil person? And what about that evil person? And I have this thought that has been running through my heart this week, and it's simply this: how can I say that my life is not a mistake, but then look at somebody else but say, well, that must have been a mistake? I don't have an easy answer for the questions of the Hitlers of the world. I don't have an easy answer for the Mussolinis. I don't have an easy answer for other people who have done horrible atrocities. I don't know how they got from birth to that. I do believe in evil. I do believe that there's consequences to sin. I do believe that people become what become things that maybe that was never the intention that they were to become because of things they start messing around with. But it's hard for me to look at myself and say, you know what? God knew me. He put me here for a reason. He doesn't make mistakes. And then to take a look at somebody else that their actions are not something that I could ever embrace and say, but that's a mistake. That one's a mistake. You should never have let that one happen. God knew me. I was thinking about this morning, that God was having conversations with me before I had even been formed. And you know what it is? He knew me because he had a mission on this planet and on this earth in the brief time that I'm going to be alive for me to accomplish. You know what that says to me? It says this: I matter. The devil will spend so much of your lifetime trying to beat you down to where you don't feel like you matter, where you don't feel like your existence is that important. Now, there are people that their accomplishments are going to be far greater than mine will ever be in this life. I pray that my children do more than I ever accomplished. But what I can do is I can take peace in the fact that at 52 years old, God knew exactly what I was going to be doing, and he prepared me for it because he knew me way back before I even started on this road. The journey that my wife and me have been on over this last year, God knew it before I even stepped onto this planet. And I've said this to people over this year. I'm doing the most important ministry of my life right now, and it's not to this church. The most important ministry that God has ever given me in my life was to step up and to rescue two little boys. And you know what? I'm grateful because he knew I was going to have to do it. And you know what? He was forming me, and while he was forming me, he was putting me in situations where he was preparing me that when the worst happened, I was ready to step in and do what he has called me to do. That's good stuff right there, church. And I'm saying this over my life. I'm speaking it over each and every one of you also. He knows me. When I can accept the beauty of his knowledge of me before time, I can believe that my life has purpose. I said this to you guys recently. You weren't just put here on this planet for one thing. Age has taught me some things. And one of the things that age has taught me is what God wanted me to do in my 20s was different than what he wanted me in my 30s and my 40s, now in my 50s. And it gives me an excitement to know that he's never done with me. I'll have a different assignment in my 60s. I don't know what it is. Maybe I'll go to the moon or something like that. No. I will never buy a Corvette. You ever see me buy a Corvette, Verl? Just shake your head. Now, Mercedes-Benz, that mountain. I want you to say this. There's a reason for me. You're sitting next to somebody. Say this. There is a reason. Liliana, there's a reason for you. All right, let's keep moving. Here's the third thing that Jeremiah is told. Before you were born, oh, I like this one. Before you were born, I sanctified you. He sanctified you. Now, what does sanctified mean? To be sanctified means this: to clean you up and to set you apart. To clean you up and to set you apart. Guys, everybody look up here. I'm drop a truth bomb on you right now. Ready? Ready? God knew you were going to be a mess before you were even born. God knew you were going to be a mess before you were even born. Is there anybody in this church that just feels like you've lived a perfect existence? No? Okay. Okay. Well, somebody said yes. Okay. Almost. Not me. I've done things that the statute of limitations hasn't run out on yet. God knew when he was forming me, I'm making somebody messy. And so what am I going to do? I am going to sanctify him before he's even born. What does that mean? I am going to clean him up, and I am going to set him apart before he even gets here. But now you look at that and you say, but you just told me that you were a mess. Yeah, I was a mess. And sometimes I still am a mess. But you know what is the beauty of God is this. God is always bringing us back to a place where he can clean us up because he's set us apart for a purpose. Because you're a mess does not mean your assignment is nullified. Because you have got yourself into situations that maybe you shouldn't have got yourself into doesn't mean that God suddenly looks at you and says, you know what? What I had planned for you, no, I'm not going to do it anymore. That's not how God works. I was reminded this week of the old song, and I went and I pulled the lyrics up, and when I was looking through them and I started singing them to myself, I felt the presence of the Lord come over me, because this is the truth of what our salvation is. There is a fountain filled with blood, drawn from Emmanuel's veins. And sinners plunge beneath that flood, they lose all their guilty stains. They lose all of their guilty stains, they lose all of their guilty stains. And sinners plunge beneath that flood, we lose all our guilty stains. Oh, man, we could stop right there and go home. Because you know what? It is the freeing power of the blood of Jesus that when I have blown it, I can simply say, God, oh, I blew it. And sometimes I say this, Lord, I blew it, and I think this one's going to leave a mark. And you know what I love about God? God says, yeah, but you're forgiven because I've sanctified you. And because I've sanctified you, I need to remind you right now, your mission has not been completed. So get yourself up off the ground. Dust yourself off. Put your hand in my hand and let's keep walking. Because I'm not done with you, and don't you dare be done with me. Amen? He sanctified us. Before you were even born, God put his hand upon you and said, you know what? I'm not bringing this person into this world for them just to drift along through life with no idea what they're here for. I'm going to give them purpose. And sometimes in our life, the purpose will be this. And then another time, Randy, the purpose will be something else. But we have to keep our eyes and our hearts open to the wonders of God that says, God put me here for a reason, and I am going to spend my lifetime figuring it out. Because your best life and is always going to be found in walking out his divine destiny for you. Amen? I don't know what your divine destiny. I know that when I was in my 20s, the thing that God wanted me to do the most was be a father. In the 30s and the 40s, now into the 50s. That's a part of who I am. But at different times, God moves you into something new. It's because he's formed you. He knew you. His hand is on the journey. All right, so that's our third point. Now let's end this thing so we can go home, because I believe my bills are going to win today. And I need to get properly set up on my couch to watch that game. Oh, by the way, in case any of you know, don't know this, God's baseball team is up 2-0. You all know who God's team is, right? not the Mets. It's the Yankees. The Mets don't exist. Here it goes. And then he says this to Jeremiah. He says, I knew you. I formed you. I knew you. I sanctified you. And then he says, and I ordained you. I ordained you. It's one thing to be sanctified so that God cleans you up. But then he ordained you. You know, I just looked over here a minute ago, saw a young B a few months ago. God told me it's time for Brazzy to step in and become our music director here at the church. And so publicly in front of all of you, we acknowledged it, ordained him, prayed for him. Our music is really making some huge strides. Excited to see where these guys are going to take us in the future. But that ordaining is simply God saying, okay, I am now going to put you in the position that I've been preparing you for. And not only am I going to put you in that position that I've been preparing you for, I'm going to let the world know that my hand is on you. And when God puts his hand on you, dreams start to become realities. You start to function in the thing that you were created to function in. Jeremiah, who was afraid to speak to the people, steps forward with a boldness. And it's not a boldness birthed out of ability. It's not out of, because he's already told us, I can't do it. I can't stand in front of these people. I'm afraid. He literally says this, I'm afraid of their faces. I'm afraid of their faces. I don't know when it happened to me. I never had a problem with being in front of people. Sometimes I'm more fearful of just a few people than I am a bunch of people. So if it's a bunch of people, I don't know any of you. Few people, you might know me. But God is saying to Jeremiah, listen, your whole life course has been leading up to this moment. Do you think that you're going to step out and I'm not going to show up? Do you think that when I put you in the position that I have called you to be, that I am not going to show up? This is when God says some stuff that's really interesting. Let's read through this. Verse 6, he says, verse 7, but the Lord said to me, do not say, I'm too young to do this. I wouldn't have called you if you were too young. For you shall go to whom I send you, and whatever I command you, you shall speak. Do not be afraid of their faces. Why? For I am with you to deliver you, saith the Lord. Then the Lord put forth his hand, and he touched my mouth. God literally will put the words that you need to speak at the moment you need to speak them in your mouth. I can't tell you how many times I've been in a situation. I was at lunch with a good friend of mine the other day, and he's got a situation going on in his life that he was discussing with me. And I just sat back, and I just started speaking to him, and I started giving him some advice. And all of a sudden he looked at me, he goes, preacher, man, you are good. And I'm thinking to myself, what did I just say to him? You know what? Because God, at that moment, was giving me what I needed to say. It wasn't, I never walked the situation out in his life that he's in. But you know what? He was asking for counsel. And you know what? He just happened to ask a guy who loves Jesus. And God begins to speak and begins to offer him what he needed to. Preacher, you're good. No, I'm not good. I'm a sanctified mess. But I tell you who is good? The God that I serve. He keeps saying this. Then the Lord put forth his hands, touched my mouth, and the Lord said to me, behold, I've put my words in your mouth. And I like this. He says, see, I have this day set you over the nations and over the kingdoms I believe this morning for somebody, you need to hear this. God has set you over nations and over the kingdoms of your life. And that some of us, there was an old song that we used to sing years and years ago, "I'm taking back what the devil stole from me." And I think that this morning somebody needs to hear this and believe this, that maybe the devil's been tangling in your life, and God wants you to know that, you know what, even while he's been messing with you, I'm still right here, and it's time for you to take back what was taken from you. Take it back, and because you know what? If your peace was stolen, the Bible says, "I'll give you peace that passes all understanding." If your joy was stolen, then God says, I promise you I'll give you joy. If your hope has been crushed, then guess what? God says, I will restore your hope. I will give you back whatever I have promised you that has been taken from your life. But the first step for us is to simply stand up and say, you know what? I am not going to let my insecurities that have boxed me into this corner keep me in this corner, because God is too big for that, and God made something that's worthwhile, and I can stand up in the middle of my life when I don't care what people are saying about me or looking at me, and they think, oh, you look at the mess they got themselves in. Yeah, maybe I did, but you know what? I serve a God that takes messes and he fixes them. He takes our worst mistakes and he turns them into something worthwhile and beautiful. And that is the God that I serve. So my insecurities don't have to drive me. My insecurity doesn't have to be the fuel in the engine of my life that is always taking me into places that I don't want to go. My security is this. It's the God that's in my life. And as long as I stay focused on that and focused on him, I know that he's going to get me where I need to go. I know that he is going to be able to help us. And I know that he is going to be able. We've been talking about things these last few weeks, about God restoring us, about God, how he interacts with us, and how he brings comfort to us. You know, last week, and I'm going to end with this right here. Last week I was sharing with you about one of the deep sorrows of my life, and that being my grandson. And the journey that he's on. And I was sharing with you guys how I had that experience last week or a couple weeks ago, where we were at that farming event and all the kids were playing, and I looked down and I saw little Johnny, and my heart broke, because all I could think of to myself was, Johnny's never going to be that child. Johnny's never going to run. Johnny's never going to talk. And that later that day, as I was kind of wallowing in that pity, I felt God say, "Don't you dare give up on me. Don't you dare give up on me." Can I tell you something? This is how God works. This week, on Tuesday, I believe it was, Tuesday or Wednesday, we have a good close friend of ours. She heads the physical therapy wing for traumatic injuries up at St. Joe's. And she's played with Johnny and worked with him and all sorts of things, and she's done PT with him, loves Johnny. And she said to us, "I think that you need to talk to your doctor about a medication. The medication's intention is to help Johnny loosen up so he can be more flexible." So I made an appointment with his neurologist. His old neurologist had left the practice. Didn't bother me at all, because I didn't really like the guy. I didn't think he was very good. So I walked into the appointment with a new neurologist. And the first thing, the gentleman sat down. What's his name? Just Amalakar, I think that's his name. He walks in and we begin to talk. This man spends about an hour with my grandson. He says, I need to get to know him. And he did tests on him, and he talked with him, and he played with him. And we're all interacting in the room. And finally, we begin to talk about the medication, that would it be helpful. for him. And he says, oh, yeah, it'll be helpful. Yeah, it's going to be helpful. And he goes, if that doesn't work, he goes, I've got all sorts of things we can try. And he said, you know what? I also want to say this to you. I'm going to put you into another specialist because I think we need to start treating Johnny for this condition. And it can make a big difference. And he also says this, he says, I also want you to know this. There are tremendous advances that are coming in pediatric neurology. Tremendous advances. He says, we don't have any idea what the future is going to hold for him because there's so many advances that are taking place. And then we got talking, and I can't even remember how we got to this. But all of a sudden the doctor looked over at me and he said these words. He said, I believe this boy's going to walk one of these days. Now, I'm going to tell you, I'm Latino, so what's in my heart oftentimes leaks out my eyes. I'm sitting in the doctor's office, tears running down my face, because this doctor had just given me this beautiful, beautiful gift. You know what he gave me? He gave me a gift of hope. And I'm saying this to you because last week I was talking to you about the darkness. But God has this way of taking you from the darkness and steering you into the light. Whew. I don't know where you are on the process this morning. You know, my insecurity when Johnny first came to me was this. I can't do this. You want to know what? I can't do it. But through him, all things are possible. And that's the word today. Come on, let's stand to our feet. Everybody this morning, we can just close our eyes for a second. I asked this question of you this morning. How many of us today would say, you know what, insecurity is something that I deal with? Insecurity sometimes has got me into some trouble in my life. But this morning, I want to embrace those words spoken all those hundreds of years ago over the prophet Jeremiah. Today, I want to make a declaration over my life that I was formed, that God knew me before I even got here, that He has sanctified me and He has ordained me, and that I have a divine purpose in this world. And I reject the lies that the devil has been speaking into my ears and into my heart. I will not accept them today. With our eyes closed, I just ask you to lift your hand to the Lord today. New beginning, God. I pray this morning over each and every person. And Lord, there's many, many hands that are lifted today. And Father, over each and every person, God, we declare that the devil is a liar. He is a liar. You created us and you made us and you have formed us. And God, some of us have walked through some stuff. Some of us are walking through it right now, Lord. And God, I just pray, Lord, that in that we can understand and we can embrace, Lord, that God, it's for a reason. You're taking us to a destination. And that God, I pray that part of this growth and maturity in our life, Lord, with that the insecurities of our life, God, would begin to be replaced with a security. And the security is simply found in living a life for you. And that God, the closer we get to you and the more that we follow you, Lord, we begin to actually see the person that we are with your eyes and not, Lord, with ours. And that God, we begin to cross that bridge into the supernatural and the divine. I don't want to wait to get to heaven to experience heaven, Lord. I believe that there's heaven here on earth that we can walk through. Because, Lord, I sure know that there's hell on earth and we've walked through. So if we can walk through hell, Lord, I know we can also walk through heaven. And Father, this morning, I just ask that you would bring that into our lives. In your name we pray. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Is this all right, guys? You see what I just did? That's how quickly insecurity pops out. I just asked you if this was all right. You know what? I know it was okay. May the Lord be with you. His light shine upon you. May you find His favor and His blessing. Give God your best this week. Amen. We'll see you next Sunday.
Thank you, Jesus.